When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So welcome to our ultimate Johnny Depp movie prep. And this is something that me and Jason and Don have been waiting to do since we've done our best Leonardo DiCaprio movies of all time, doing the movie bracket. And it's a pleasure to be able to do this again. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. I'm excited to have the guys back here again to do the best Johnny Depp movies of all time in this. What's Eating Gilbert Grape is definitely on the list again. So let's see if he ends up taking this one home. Let's do it. And hey guys, how's it going?
What's up?
What's up?
So we're going to do honorable mentions first. We have three films that didn't make the bracket because one or the other hasn't seen the movie or anything like that. So therefore we cannot talk about it. Not only that, but when we do this movie bracket, we're talking about best direction, best storytelling, stuff like that. We're not going by performance. We're going by plot. We're going by rewatchability. We're going by all those things. So the number one thing on my list that I have is Benny and June and Secret Window. Those are the two that I have for my honorable mentions. What about for you two?
I like Secret Window. I think it's a community. I don't think it's one of his better. I wouldn't say it's probably one of his better movies. Not for me, at least.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen Benny and June.
No, Benny and June is an underrated movie. So is Don Juan DeMarco. Those two movies were back in the 90s where basically it was doing like mental health, romantic comedy type films.
Yeah.
But they were so good though. The Benny and June was like an underrated movie where basically this guy, this brother winds up hiring someone to take care of his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Who has a mental condition. So Johnny winds up falling in love with June. And then you have Don Juan DeMarco, who thinks he's actually Zorro.
Oh, yeah.
Thinks that he came from Mexico, and he's in a mental institution, and he's seeing a psychiatry and stuff like that. And he makes up his own little story about different things. So I definitely like Don Juan DeMarco.
Yeah, Don Juan DeMarco is definitely a good movie. I'll say for me, I don't think it's on here just because we kept it out, was Pirates, right?
No, we have Pirates in there.
Oh, we do have Pirates. Okay, good.
We got the very first Pirates of the Caribbean movie in this bracket.
We got Sleepy Hollow in there. There's so many good. Like, I don't think we missed any of the really good ones.
For me,
Black Mass isn't in there.
No, because. Go on ahead.
I was going to say, listen, honorable mentions for me. One is going to be very stupid, but Mordecai.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It was just a funny, stupid movie. But then also, where was it? I just saw.
For me, I would say another one would then be, Black Mass.
Yeah. I like Black Mass, but here's the thing. I wanted them to see more of the crime versus it just telling us. I wanted to see more from it, and I just didn't get what I wanted.
I'll say just an honorable mention just in general. even though I don't like the movies, him as Grindelwald, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I don't know if he's in movies, but I love him as Grindelwald. So,
Alice in Wonderland. Do we have that one?
Yep, we have Alice in Wonderland. Okay. We just don't have Alice through the pooping glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fair. Bride.
Yes, that's
true. Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland's definitely on the bracket, JoJo. I hope that you stick around for this bracket. It's a great bracket that we put together.
I'm just going to go through all of his movies now. Oh, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, for sure.
Yeah, and but that's more like co-star level.
Blind, Blind Assassin, yes, 100%. Yes.
That was also during the time of Pirates of the Caribbean as well.
Yep.
That was in 03. He was just on a roll back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Oh, that first Pirate, the first couple Pirates were good movies, I think.
The first two were. Yeah. Definitely like them. Yeah. But yeah, let's go on ahead. Let's get on with the bracket. Sorry,
I just wanted to look at what we did miss.
That's okay.
So many Gilpins.
Okay, round one. We have What's Eating Gilbert Grape versus Crybaby.
Why'd you do this?
We also have Dark Shadows versus Pirates of the Caribbean. We have Sleepy Hollow versus Lone Ranger. Fear and Loathing Las Vegas versus Sweeney Todd. Edward Scissorhands versus The Run Diaries. Finding Neverland.
You cannot make me pick between my two literal favorite Johnny Depp movies and the first.
Hold on. It gets better, dude. It gets better. Hold on. Okay. So we got Edward Scissorhands versus The Rum Diaries in round one as well. Finding Neverland versus Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We got Blow versus Alice in Wonderland.
No, that's not fair.
And then we got Donnie Brasco versus Rango.
Ah. I hate that because I do
that's
like
not a good one either. I don't like that one either.
I like Donnie Brasco
a lot.
So, with that being said, let's get on with round one with our number one seed versus our number 16th seed.
Man, John, why did you have to do Johnny Depp dirty? You have to say Nate. How could you not be a little more generous?
Hey, I didn't do the bracket. I didn't choose the bracket. The bracket chose me. That's the thing.
Go ahead, sir.
So, round one, number one seed. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? He's coming back over here to swing again after losing up against Django Unchained.
Yeah.
And then we have the number 16 seed, which is Crybaby.
I mean, for me, I'm going to go all. I've seen Crybaby once, and I really did not. I don't think it's not a good movie. So I will definitely defend What's Eating Gilbert Grape over this, especially rewatchability. I know we're not really supposed to, but the performance is amazing. The directing is amazing. To get out of him again, what, you know, he's a younger kid at that point. You know, he's not quite as young as DiCaprio, but yeah, I think overall, it's definitely a better movie. Definitely a better movie for me.
Yeah, it sucks because it's like they're both good movies, obviously. But I have to agree, What's Eating Gilbert Grape is... Johnny Depp's performance in that to, you know, be an older brother to someone like that. And honestly, what gets me is the monologues, like the long stream monologues that he has to himself in that. Like
so many memorable moments.
Yeah, just, like it's really, rewatchability, all of it. It's all there on What's Eating Gilbert.
I think so too, yeah.
Okay. So what I'm going to say about this is, I think that whenever you look at story and direction and rewatchability goes, like you guys said, he's being an older brother to someone that has who is autistic and trying to show his love and affection for his brother while also trying to be there for his family as well and putting his own stuff aside to help his family. While you have Crybaby, who is basically someone that is a troublemaker who winds up falling in love with somebody, and it's also a musical.
It's very cliche. And again, it's not that he's bad at it or anything. It's just very cliche, in my opinion.
If you think about it, though, it kind of reminds me of Dirty Dancing, but with Johnny Depp. Yeah. It's basically what I think it is.
Yeah, similar. Or like Footloose, you know, just that type of movie where it's like, you know, there's a...
I think Crybaby was still, it was also a bit of like him trying to figure out who he was as an actor, I feel like, in that very first bit. So I don't think he was fully, you know, the Johnny Depp that we know and love. And I think What's Eating Gilbert Grape, he's definitely got the foot in the door, and he's getting to be the actor that we have seen and known and for a lot more movies.
Yeah. Definitely. So,
yeah.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape is actually going to be moving into the second round.
I think I agree with that. Yep.
So now we got Dark Shadows versus Pirates of the Caribbean.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is an easy one for me. It's Pirates all the way. Pirates of the Caribbean is one. I mean, who doesn't love Captain Jack Sparrow? Like, I mean, his performance in that, he carries the freaking movie in that first one. Like, I'm sorry, he 100% does. And his dedication to the role is none other.
Yeah.
And I definitely do agree with you on this as far as the rewatchability, the most quotable lines that you can find in a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, especially this is like when Disney was first announcing the fact that they were doing a Pirates of the Caribbean and it's based off a ride from a theme park. And then they're trying to sell you on who will be in it. And then it's Johnny Depp playing Jack Sparrow. And then you realize that you have a great cast. You also have Orlando Bloom back in this after playing in Lord of the Rings. You also have the quotable lines of, well, you can never trust an honest man, honestly. And you also have, remember this is the day that you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow. You have that in there as far as the quotable lines and stuff like that.
One of my favorite movie moments in all of movies is him walking off the top of the sinking ship onto the...
Yeah, like the beginning scene of that movie is amazing.
Yeah, that one little scene of him coming into the dock is amazing.
It completely describes Johnny Depp, like, or his character, Jack Sparrow, in this. Like, it completely embodies who that character is in that very first moment we see him.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely agree.
Yeah, so look, I love Johnny Depp in the way he can play these different weird characters, but still be able to be different in each one. Like, even though Jack Sparrow and, you know, what's his name from Fear and Loathing are very similar in the way that they, but there's still nuances that he does with all of these characters. So I, again, love Johnny Depp as a vampire, but you can't beat the replayability, the quality of that first Pirates movie. It's just a better movie for sure.
100%.
Yeah, it is performance, I think, is way better, because in Dark Shadows, he's not meant to be serious. In the first Pirates, I think he was trying to be serious at first, playing the character. And then as the movies went on, he just kind of became the character, a character of the character. But the very first one, I think he was legitimately trying to play a character. And yeah. So.
Okay. So I'm going to say this. I think that here's the thing. I definitely like Pirates of the Caribbean over Dark Shadows, like I've said. And I think that it's a better film. And Dark Shadows is not even that quotable, to be honest with you.
No.
It's not even that funny. It's
a fun little movie, I think.
It's fun, but is it rememberable? Is it something that somebody's just going to throw on for background noise? And it's just something that's just happens to catch your eye and you happen just to watch it? And is it one of those movies that let's say for instance that Dark Shadows was on TV and Pirates of the Caribbean was on the TV, which one would you go for?
Yeah, not even a question. Yeah, Pirates.
Without a doubt, Pirates.
The only reason you rewatch Dark Shadows is for Johnny Depp as a vampire. I mean, that's really it. There's nothing else really to the movie. I agree with that.
Exactly. So Pirates of the Caribbean is going to go on ahead and move into round two with What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
That's an interesting one.
Right. So now we got Sleepy Hollow versus Lone Ranger.
Are we really going to talk about Tonto? Johnny Depp playing an Indian? No, I'm not doing it. No, absolutely not.
Why?
Absolutely not. Well, the movie is not good, but come on. Sleepy Hollow is a classic. He's so good in that movie as a Kabakri. He's so amazing in that movie.
No, without a doubt. But I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry. I do like Lone Ranger. I might be one of the only people in the history of the world to like that movie, but I 100% do like that movie. I don't know why. It's just something in me that tickles my fancy, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll get down with this fucking heap of garbage. Like, it's just one of those, like, it's like people who love, like John Carter, like, that movie was not good, but it was also amazing.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those where I was just like, ah, I can, again, it's a dumb movie that I could rewatch a few times and be like, haha, this is fun.
Yep.
But no, him as Ichabod Crane, without a doubt, that movie is, I mean, we've heard the story of Sleepy Hollow before him, and you know, this was all like, it's been retold, but like, they made that their own.
It was fresh. It was a new take.
What I liked about, here's the thing, this is what I liked about Sleepy Hollow, was it wasn't about a school teacher who goes over to Sleepy Hollow. It's about an investigator who's going over to Sleepy Hollow for investigation, and he's also one of those people that takes things for face value. So when he sees in front of him, that's what he's going to believe. He's not going to believe a headless horseman goes around killing people,
right,
or anything like that. He thinks that it's just something that some small town made up, and to justify somebody else killing somebody else, mm-hmm. until he actually sees the legend actually being played as he's investigating this. He's actually seen this for firsthand. And that's actually awesome sound effects for Sleepy Hollow. So it's actually perfect. But
yeah, I think like what you both are saying is it was also a fresh take on this story, which was really refreshing. And he just brings it. And Christina Ricci is great in this movie.
Yes,
the one that plays the head. I can't remember his name. I never remember his name, but he's really great. There's so many good cameos too in this movie. Not even cameos, but just people playing really good small parts. Christopher Walken as the friggin' Headless Horseman is amazing.
I didn't see that coming until I was in the theater. And I'm like, okay, I like the fact that we have him playing the Headless Horseman, yes. Christopher Walken. Great. That was so fucking awesome. I remember just being geeked out in the theater.
Yeah.
And... but this is actually one of the movies that my brother-in-law and I went to go see whenever I came back from Boston and moved back to where I am now. So it holds a special place in my heart. But also, too, the rewatchability is better than The Lone Ranger. And I don't like The Lone Ranger at all. I mean, I remember sitting there at my ex-fiance's house. I'm just suffering through this movie. And they're just having a good-ass time with it. I'm like... can I please? I'd rather have my teeth extracted from my body right now. I'd rather have a root canal.
That's the other thing in this movie. Yeah, and not even that he played an Indian. It's just the fact that he really wasn't funny. Like all the stereotype jokes just didn't land for me overall throughout the movie.
I'm such an idiot. I love the whole dry humor.
Yeah,
it was like. It was dry to the point of like, all like, I'm not comparing it to The Office, but I'm saying like the dry humor where like Michael Scott's just staring at the camera like, come on now, laugh. Mm-hmm. Like shit like that, where it was just like that. I don't know why. I thought it was hysterical.
I got you. But, you know, I just felt like for me personally, it felt like they put Jack Sparrow in a Lone Ranger movie and then they just put a crow on his head. And did all the same shit that they did.
I'm pretty sure they didn't give him a script.
Right.
No.
And I'm like, they literally said, hey, this is the premise. Go.
Like, I just wonder what that was, though, in his career. Like, when it became from, like, people trying to actually direct him and then people being like, no, just go be Johnny Depp.
Johnny, come here. Johnny, yeah, whatever you are doing in Pirates, yeah, do this over here.
Right.
We're going to put you on this giant wheel that's supposed to be to get the water and everything and stuff like that. You're going to be on top of it. We're going to play Jerry Bruckheimer's theme song that's kind of similar to Pirates of the Caribbean. We're going to also have the Lone Ranger theme song in there. You just keep on doing what you're doing. We'll just roll with it, okay? Now, action.
Yeah.
that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I'm going to have that go.
Sleepy Hollow in this.
Yes, Sleepy Hollow, unanimously.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So let me go.
Or you're going to keep out the vote, though. Go to 2-1.
No. Like I said, don't get me wrong. It's a dumb, like, stupid indulgent that I like. But overall...
we all have those movies, for sure.
But
a ton of those.
If I had to compare it to, like I said, Sleepy Hollow, there's no comparison whatsoever.
My guilty pleasure is the He-Man movie. Y'all can go screw yourselves.
I don't ever want to hear you talk shit about any movie.
Exactly. I'm not exactly. Nobody has any right to ever say anything.
But what's next? What we got next?
Yeah, what we got next?
Okay, so now we have Sleepy Hollow going into round two. and who is going to go up against him, right? Uh-huh. So we have Fear and Loathing Las Vegas versus Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. The only musical I like versus one of the greatest just stoner movies of all time. Like, just, yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Okay. This is going to be a tough one, and I think we're actually going to have to deliberate this. So, Fear and Loathing is a great retelling of, I can't remember the writer's name.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, too.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, Hunter S. Thompson.
This is a great retelling of this whole trip with his buddy in Las Vegas. And, you know, how it all went down. And I'm sure, you know, it's all exaggerated and everything. But it's if even half of the shit in this movie actually happened, it's fucking insane. And
I would have been out when I walked into that hotel. And
oh, my God.
It happened. I would have been out. Oh, like, God. I can't do this. I cannot fucking do this.
No. And like, his performance in it is, I think this is probably where everyone gets the whole drunken, crazy Johnny Depp from, and this is where it probably has stemmed from. Because, I mean, he's just a drunk, high buffoon, like a babbling idiot throughout the entire movie, almost.
Yeah.
But he's also a great, like, he's playing someone who was one of the best writers of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of all time.
Yeah.
So, it's a great fucking movie. And then going against Sweeney Todd, I mean, The Demon Barber, like, it's just, like he said, it's one of the best musicals, and I love musicals. I'm a very big theater nerd.
Sure.
And then what's her name in it? The chick, the accomplice.
I can't remember. You're talking about
who makes the actual, Bellatrix. Yes.
Play Bellatrix. No.
Yes. She actually makes the freaking mincemeat pies of all these of the victims and all these things. And I don't know, man.
When him and Sacha Baron Cohen going at it, that's
yes,
one of the best scenes ever. It's one of the best scenes ever. Those two together, just having fun, like literally just having fun.
Yes.
Singing and just talking shit to each other about how they're the better barber. It's so, like that. The rewatchability ability of that, for me, the only reason I put that higher than Fear and Loathing, even though I've literally seen Fear and Loathing 1,000 times, is because it's the only musical that I really can like sit through and watch, just because I'm so good at it. Like, they're all, everybody in it is so good.
So what?
They drag you into this story of this just insanity, and it's so much fun.
What categories did we have before when we were going through the movies? There was rewatchability.
Rewatchability.
Yeah, director.
Not performance.
Not performance.
No. Storytelling, direction, rewatchability.
Okay. That's what I said. Which, if I go with performance, it would have to be Fear and Loathing, only because it hurts so much more in that. But
all right. Storytelling, I'm sorry. Fear and Loathing, I think, tells a better story than Sweeney Todd.
Wow, really? See, Listen,
yes, Sweeney Todd's story is amazing and it's great. Fear and Loathing, I feel like throughout the entire movie, I'm just like, what's he doing next? What's he doing? Whoa, what the hell is he doing there? You know what I'm saying? Like, I could rewatch that movie 1,000 times and I'm probably going to see something different every fucking time because of how much the director put into it, how much Johnny Depp put into it. And also, not even just Johnny Depp, his co-star,
Benicio del Toro.
Like, I mean, the whole amazing. Like, it's just I think I'm going to stand.
Throw the White Rabbit Peaks, and he's like, "What is wrong?
What are you talking
about?" Saying,
"Oh my God, it's one of the funniest things ever."
Okay, so for me, Fear and Loathing.
Love that movie.
I don't know. I watched it before. I get what they're doing. I get that it's a Hunter S. Thomas story. I get the fact that it's like one of those movies with an LSD kind of trip. He's actually obnoxious. He's doing off the wall crazy shit and things like that, and a whole bunch of shenanigans and stuff. But at the same time, I also have to go with what am I drawn to? And what am I going to watch if I had the two of them on there that I would like to actually have something with more of a pacing for a film and a revenge plot and things like that too? I'm going to have to go with Sweeney Todd for me because of that. But I haven't heard what Don wants though.
Don picked Sweeney Todd.
I don't know. See, okay, so here's the thing. The reason I think I might go Sweeney Todd is that story, because he's there to report on a freaking motorcycle race and just never goes back. He goes for like 5 minutes maybe and then he never goes back. He's just like, fuck it, I'm done. So story-wise, it's just a dude getting lost and a fucking, like, just craziness and not being able to handle, like, the drugs he's on. So, for a cohesive story, yeah, I think I do have to give it to Sweeney Todd overall. I do think it's going to slide it out. Man, this is a tough... I hate you, John. I hate your randomizer for this one. Whatever your randomizer is, I hate it. I'm going to have to slightly say Sweeney Todd.
Okay.
But I think rewatchability, Well, Fear and Loathing, man. Yeah. I still think it beats out overall, but God, man. Sweeney
Todd. So, what do you want to do? You have to pick one or the other.
Todd. I'm going with Sweeney Todd overall.
You are? Okay. Yes. So, let me put that down.
Yeah, sorry.
So, no. I just want to make sure that was your final answer. That's all.
There's just so many things that each movie hits for me. You know, like, different things that each movie hits for me, like, really high. So, that's why it sucks to pick between them.
Okay, so we have two Tim Burton films that are going to be facing off against each other coming into the second round.
This is interesting.
Yeah. So now we got Edward Scissorhands versus the Rum Diaries.
Wait a minute, Rum Diaries was Tim Burton?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, what do you...
That's in round two that we have two Tim Burton movies. But Edward Scissorhands is also a Tim Burton movie, though, too.
Yep.
So we have Rum Diaries versus Edward Scissorhands now. So now we have another Hunter S. Thomas story versus Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
And this was one of his worst movies that he's done, was the Rum Diaries.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, I think this one I think you have to give it to
Ed.
Edward Scissorhands. Yeah.
I agree.
Just because 100%. The Rum Diaries is such a flop and him playing that character again. Really.
It was just a different style in the way he did that. If he would have actually waited until like how he did in that year, if they did, hey, look, Johnny, we're going to go on ahead. We're going to do another Hunter S. Thomas story right after Fear and Loathing. It's going to be called The Rum Diaries. It would have made sense. It just seems like he lost his way with that character.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that he had been away from it for so long. So that's what I feel like in the direction of it. And then
Where the Buffalo Roam, Bill Murray is Hunter S. Thompson's really good too. Have you seen
that? I like that one.
Yeah.
But it just
didn't hold up in that, for one of his movies.
Right. So I'm gonna go with Edward Scissorhands. I remember going to the theater to see this as a kid. In the movie theater with my mom.
I watched this movie a million times. I absolutely love this movie. I love my favorite part in this movie when I was growing up as a kid. It still amazes me to this day. And I know it's not him doing it, but the fucking when he's doing all the yard stuff and he's making like it's one of the best, moot parts of a movie ever. And just I know again, performancism doesn't matter, but damn, he's great in this movie. Like really, really good for being young.
It's completely dialed into this character who's actually a fish out of water kind of scenario where this woman who's an Avon lady coming up to his castle to sell him Avon, and she winds up taking him home and he doesn't know how to fit into this environment that he's in. He found out what a waterbed was. He also found Winona Ryder as his love interest, even though he doesn't have hands, and I wonder if he does have a penis underneath everything. But I wonder if they could actually reproduce. That's what I was thinking of after seeing it as an adult. But I have to go Edward Scissorhands, just the story alone. And then I like the whole entire Danny Elfman theme with it, and then the direction and writing of it is completely original, something that we haven't seen before in the early 90s.
Yeah, I think it's just one of his most memorable movies in general. It just always stays kind of in the conversation for him. Really great movie.
100%. I think Johnny Depp's performance in it was in there, and especially, like, there's a lot of, like, physical acting in this for him, like, mm-hmm. and I think he has a great, like, way of using his whole body in this performance. And I think, I think especially comparing it to, what's it called? Rum Diaries. There is no comparison.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't ever understand why he ever decided to, what's it called? Do that. Cause it was just like really, a really weird direction.
Yep.
I agree. I definitely didn't like the Rum Diaries. I found it unwatchable versus Fear and Loathing. I think I can, if I had to put Fear and Loathing versus the Rum Diaries, I would actually put Fear and Loathing in that place over the Rum Diaries.
Yeah.
That's how I would put it.
Well, it's, again, like Jason just said, it's such a weird direction because of the success of Fear and Loathing. And then you do this and it's like, but why did you change it? It worked and then you screwed it up. You know what I mean? So.
Right. And especially all those years later, like, right. What did you think you needed?
Exactly.
What did you need to touch up on it? Like, that's what I don't get is, like, you had a great performance in Fear and Loathing. What more did you want out of this character?
Yeah.
I feel like that, basically Rum Diaries is kind of like a prequel, right?
I think
he's working for a newspaper.
Yeah. But again, he doesn't know when Fear and Loathing happened. He said he had a whole bunch of trips like that. So, it was just what things he could remember.
Just one experience from that one trip.
Right, yeah.
What
he could remember from what happened.
Okay, I'm just doing a what-if scenario here, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I know that prequels wasn't a big thing in the 90s. This because the Fear and Loathing was 98. If they went on ahead and, let's say, for instance, they did decide, hey, look, we're going to go on ahead and do the Rum Diaries a year later, which is 99. He would still remember the character. He would still have that heart for that character.
Yeah.
But I'm just playing devil's advocate here, okay? So what if this is a prequel story told in the eyes of Hunter S. Thomas, and he's not, and this is actually the setup before Fear and Loathing.
It could.
Did it that way.
I think it could be, but it's still, I think, one, if it is that, enough time had passed where no one was thinking anything of that. You know what
I mean? Right, exactly.
Like, where it was just like, and even still, like, because also, there's like 13 years later, you're almost targeting a whole different audience.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you know, all these people have grown up. You got to hope that they, if that's the case, you have to, for this to be successful, you have to hope that they've seen Fear and Loathing and somewhat understand the direction that they're going with this, or even watch Fear and Loathing right after the Rum Diaries. So you're like, oh, okay, he turned into this kind of a guy.
Right.
Right. I got you.
Like, but I just, yeah, no. I think Rum Diaries is a weak ass movie.
Yes. The Rum Diaries suck ass.
It is bad, yeah. Unfortunately,
if I had to put Public Enemies in that place, I would put Public Enemies there. But yeah,
yes,
much better movie. Yeah.
So let's see here: Finding Neverland versus Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Only because, I mean, come on,
it's not a comparison. I'm sorry, Charlie the Chocolate. I hate that movie with a passion.
He was such a fucking creeper in that.
I don't ever understand.
They let him play that character that way, I do not understand it.
There's some characters.
He could have been a really good Wonka. I think he could have been a good Wonka.
Yeah.
But he just was not a good Wonka.
No.
No.
It's
like he was trying to do this bad Michael Jackson impression.
Yes.
And then, he goes, hey.
And I'm like, no, I get he's not Gene Wilder, and I didn't want him to do an impression of Gene Wilder either.
Yeah,
I wanted him to do what Johnny does in these type of characters, have fun with it, and kind of make a weird, just kind of quirky, oh, I love candy kind of person. And he went in a completely different direction.
He went on another LSD trip.
Yes, like I don't weird that movie. One. I never liked that
like what that movie because of his performance. And it was like one of the only times that I could honestly say that his performance was not good.
Yeah, and that's either the director couldn't get control of him, or the director was really bad at directing. Like, I don't know which one.
I think it was probably more Burton, probably, because at this time he's worked with him on a few films, correct?
Yeah,
Burton has a track record. I mean, it's not like he's
I'm just saying. So, like, at that point, he's probably like, all right, let's give him the reins a bit. He's a decent enough actor. He's got enough titles under his belt.
And Tim Burton loves Johnny Depp, so he's definitely going to give him all the free.
But I thought that this was just too much of a creepy take factory owner. Like, you know how many kids you're probably killing?
A lot, dude. A lot.
Yeah. Like, it's just like insane. The lawsuits would be out the ass. Like, here, Charlie. Here's the key to the whole foundation and everything. Here's the bank account. Oh, wait, yeah. And the lawsuits, they're coming as I walk out the door.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yeah. Peace. Have fun.
Yeah. No, I didn't like this movie the first time I saw it, and I've tried to watch it a couple times since.
I did too.
Can't watch it. I can't.
The funny thing is, Fred Durst was originally supposed to produce that movie back in the day.
I mean, who knows if that would have been good or bad, but yeah, no, that movie wouldn't beat any movie on this list for me, honestly. Charlie Vitry loses to everything.
But Finding Neverland, let's just talk about that for a minute, though, too.
Yeah. I've only seen it once by your recommendation, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I definitely love the idea of this guy who's going into this house, and he's just an entertainer, basically, and he's trying to take care of these kids and things like that too. It's just such a great film on how he based the story of Peter Pan around this family. And it's about family. It's got drama, it's got comedy, it's got a love story in it. Nothing feels forced in this movie. The direction of it is really good. Rewatchability is definitely in there more than what I can say about Charlie and the Shit Factory.
I'm a huge Peter Pan fan from Disney. I love that's one of my favorite Disney movies too, Peter Pan. So yeah, being able to see this kind of told from a different perspective and kind of just tying it in into how he kind of created all these characters, I thought was really fun. Like you said, the love story is really good. I do think the direction is good. Yeah, it was a really fun movie. Definitely something I would watch again.
I think it was a great movie all around, and just the Kate Winslet in it was awesome.
Yeah.
Their chemistry.
That's one thing I wasn't sure about, if the chemistry would work between her and Johnny, and it does.
Oh, 100% it does. It's there the entire time. And like you said, I think it's a great another like perspective on the tale of Peter Pan.
Right, because we never got perspectives from the writer who wrote the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, we only got the story of Peter Pan, but not the behind-the-scenes stuff of what that guy had to do to get to that point of getting that done. So I definitely like the behind-the-scenes kind of story of that.
Yeah.
So now we got Blow versus Alice in Wonderland.
I mean, look, if I'm going to pick rewatchability, it's Blow all day. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I love that freaking movie. Like, it's such a great ride.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's so much fun. I do think the direction is actually really good in this movie also, because the story that they have to tell and the way he kind of, you know, goes, oh man, it's so well done. I love Flo. Alice in Wonderland is really good. And I do think it's at least a rewatchable movie. I don't think it's something I would rewatch enough. And I do think this is another one of those Charlie Chocolate Factory problems where Tim Burton and Johnny Depp are just doing weird shit. Like, they're just doing weird shit to do weird shit. And I love that. Don't get me wrong. And it does work for the most part in this movie, but it's just them doing weird shit to do weird shit in a cool ass, like, you know, what we love. You know, everybody loves Alice in Wonderland. So, yeah. I would pick Blow over this, over Alice in Wonderland overall.
So, by the way, if you're supposed to start and watch Alice in Wonderland, I wonder if it would really open people up to get to a new experience.
I don't think the movie does anything new. It's pretty much a retelling of the animated.
Basically, a thing by the number story.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's the only thing I don't. But again, Johnny Depp being the Mad Hatter, and it is funny. Like, it's hilarious. He's great. So,
I agree. I do think Blow is a better movie. It's just the story behind it. Again, it's one of those where you're kind of just on the edge of your seat trying to follow the story of this, George and, you know, the entire, you know, his relationship with the cartel and all this thing. Like, yeah. It's just a great, you know, to see what he gets caught up in. And, like, it's just kind of one of those, it's like one of those movies where, like, you just after one thing after another, you're kind of just like this person's getting themselves caught into some shit.
Exactly. And the thing that I liked about it was, too, it goes into the fact that George comes from a good family. It's just that he's tired of being poor. He's tired of having to struggle. Yep. And the mother is trying to show him tough love because of the fact that he's done some bad stuff. He winds up selling weed in Los Angeles with him and his buddy. And then he goes from that to getting arrested, and then he gets in prison and he winds up running into this cartel guy. He's like, "So George, tell me, why are you here?" Because I got caught selling weed.
Another great
because you had the wrong dream.
Walken as the father.
Yeah. Walken.
You're thinking,
I know the movie you're thinking of. You're thinking of Catch Me If You Can.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's the one that you're thinking of.
Yes, I am, actually.
You are correct. Ray Liotta was the father in this one.
Who was it?
Ray Liotta.
Oh, Ray
Liotta. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I got to rewatch Blow. It's been so long. Okay.
And, I just love the dialogue between him and the cartel guy in the prison. I also like the whole entire thing of the fact you also have Pee Wee Herman in this movie too. You have him playing in this. Yes. He plays the guy who does the weed. For him.
No, he is so funny. He's so good in that part.
Are you cops? Because if you are, you have to tell me.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Blow, hands down, most quotable movie probably, most rewatchable. It's better than Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. Hands down, one of my favorite movies to watch. As a matter of fact, I ended up introducing my wife to this film a couple of months back. She loved it. And
introducing everyone to
Blow. And what's her, what's his wife's name?
That's what I do. I just go in and snort some coke, and introduce them to Blow and while watching Alice in Wonderland. It's a great experience.
The one that plays his wife, though, what's her name again? She is amazing in this movie. No, she is really good in this movie. Really good.
Penelope Cruz.
Yes, Penelope Cruz. Oh, my gosh. She's great. That freaking party they have at the end when they bust him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, also, too, when they have that fight, it reminds me of T.I. on the freeway. And she's snorting cocaine and everything. And they're arguing back and forth. And... that motherfucker, he has cocaine in the back of the car truck. He's a fucking cocaine dealer.
Oh my God. Dude, and that beach scene, when he walks up and they're like, "Yeah, no, we're done with you." And he's like, "What do you mean you're done with me?" I would have been freaking done. I'm like, "Nope, all right, see y'all."
All right, cool, done, bye.
Okay, bye.
He starts walking up the beach and they start walking down. He's like, "Are we good?" And they're like, "Nope." He's like, "Oh, fuck." He's fucking up thinking he's dead. Just the shit he goes through in that movie is insane.
It really is. So insane. And then how he testifies, he goes, "Look, all I got in trouble for was bringing some plants. He goes, yeah, Mr. George, but unfortunately, your plants were illegal. So therefore, you have to go to jail. But yeah, I definitely like Blow. Blow is now going to make its way into the second round, facing off against Finding Neverland.
Okay.
So that's going to be a very different movie altogether.
That's interesting.
So now we got Donnie Brasco versus Rango.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. Rango wins.
I mean,
Donnie Brasco is amazing, though.
Donnie Brasco is fucking amazing. Like, I don't. This might be.
No, this is a tough one. No, it really is, actually. I mean, I think Donnie Brasco has to win, but goddamn, Rango is a good movie. It really is a freaking good movie.
Funny. I have to say, I've seen it for the first time a couple months back. My wife was like, "Are you watching Rango?" I said, "Yeah, Don recommended it, so I'm doing." So this is for my best movies of Johnny Depp.
And again, like, I can't say it's like this like innovative, like new animated, but it's just it's actually just a really good animated movie. And they're so rare, so it's like I just got to give its props. I love that movie so much. I love the villain too, the snake, the rattlesnake with the, oh my god, the design on that's so cool.
There's a lot of cool scenes in Rango.
Yeah.
I love the scene where like he's getting, like, I think it's when the cage first or the glass first breaks and he's flying through the air or some shit, and he hits the one dude's car and it's literally the Johnny Depp from Fear and Loathing just driving down the freaking road. And then there's a scene where he has, you know, this conversation with like the Clint Eastwood-esque character. And there's so many good scenes in that movie. Donnie Brasco, though, is still such an amazing crime movie. Like,
and that's the thing. That's why I think that's why it has to win, just because it is a really good movie. And
what did you just say?
Did
you just say you think Donnie Brasco has to win?
Yes, and I know that. I hate it. I hate every second of it.
That's it.
But the rewatchability of it, the story, even though you know what's going to happen, like, this movie, it's just an amazing crime movie. It just is. It's one of those movies like The Departed, like, you know, all of that you have to watch.
The thing that I liked about Donnie Brasco is this: you have Al Pacino in there. You also have, an all-star cast.
All-star.
You know,
all-star,
and everybody's all-star on their A game. The direction of this movie is really damn good. You have an FBI agent doing an undercover job to take down the mob, and you
he brings him the jewels, and he's trying to feel out if he's a cop or not.
Right, and Michael Madison as Sonny.
Yes. Oh my god, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great movie, man. It's an amazing movie. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Carlito's
Way, Donnie Brasco, they're all up there, man. Casino, Goodfellas, are all up there.
Especially when, you have Al Pacino trying to teach Donnie the way and everything. Go say, kid, that's a vulgaris. He goes, "Hey, what you gonna do? You're gonna go ahead. Next day, you're gonna shave your mustache. We don't do mustaches here." Then he goes, "Look, you're gonna carry. Got a wallet?" He goes, "Yeah, we don't do that. Money.
Yeah,
that's how you carry money." Yeah, I said,
this is one of those movies like Goodfellas. I've seen Goodfellas 100 times. I could quote the damn movie basically, but I still rewatch it. And Donnie Brasco is the same thing. I will watch this movie if I see it or if it's on. You know, like, I will absolutely watch this. 100% love this movie. So yeah, it's hard to pick it over Rango, because again, I do think Rango is a really great movie. So it is hard to pick it. I said Fear and Loathing, and I said Rango would win somehow. But
Rango got taken out by the mob.
He did.
Rango got
taken out. He didn't even get to say hi. He just showed up.
And I like how you started this conversation. I'm gonna say it. Rango wins.
I know.
And then 2 seconds later,
because it's hard to argue against the point. the fact of it.
Okay, that concludes round one, correct?
Yes, sir. So, that is the end of round one. So now we got What's Eating Gilbert Grape versus Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
So we're going to go with...
I go Gilbert.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what, Gilbert Grape. Yep.
Okay, let me do this real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a serious... So do you want something serious? Or do you want something fun to watch with your family, to stuff popcorn in your face and laugh your ass off through the whole entire deal? Yeah. Or do you want to watch What's Eating Gilbert Grape? And they both are both rewatchable.
Bonus of loving hanging out with your family? I'm going to sit and watch Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to watch Gilbert Grape.
I think I
So, you know what? Screw F that. I'm going to go and see Gilbert Grape as well. Because I just like the fact that you have Leonardo DiCaprio in there. You have a lot of serious moments. You have some comedy in it. You also have Gilbert trying. He's also sleeping around with the next door neighbor, with the neighbor and stuff like that too, from the grocery store.
Is What's Eating Gilbert Grape the greatest movie of all time? Because it's now made it through two brackets. Like it's eating its way through two brackets.
It's eating its way through two brackets, dude.
It's just
two brackets. It's made its way through two ranking videos. Like I said, in the first one, it made it to the finals. Like if it makes it to the finals, we got issues.
Dude, we got something going on.
Literally. Okay. So let me put that down real quick.
But just to say this about Pirates of the Caribbean is an amazing movie. It was a great way to start their franchise. But also, I said before that movie stood on his back, and I think that is probably why I think it shouldn't win. Is because I think you put another actor in that spot, and it won't be as good. I'm not saying that another actor
can play Gilbert Grape that movie yet.
I'm not saying that anyone else can play his, his character in Gilbert Grape, Gilbert. But I'm just saying, I think with Pirates of the Caribbean has such a cast, and if you take him out of it, it definitely hurts it. Whereas Gilbert Grape didn't have this big cast, didn't have all these extra characters. And if you took him out of it, it would, it would be horrible.
That's fair.
But it would make sense why it wouldn't carry, because there's not as many, actors and actresses in this.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, basically at this point, Johnny was actually typecast as Jack Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody else went on ahead and took that role, nobody else could do it like Johnny could do Jack Sparrow or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Eating Gilbert Grape. I want something a little serious. I want something to pull on my heartstrings. I want some of that great monologue that we got. What's Eating Gilbert Grape is definitely going to be moving into the third round.
Sweet.
Now we got Sleepy Hollow versus Sweeney Todd.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
Don, you want to touch that one first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if you put the same question to me, which one do I want to sit down and watch? I think I'm going to go Sweeney Todd in this one. I think it inches out for me over Sleepy Hollow that's hard. I love Sleepy Hollow. He's so good. Yeah, I think I'd have to go Sweeney Todd. I love watching that movie. That movie's so much fun to rewatch.
Yeah, I can rewatch them both. I think the theater nerd in me is going with Sweeney Todd more, just because I love musicals and I always have. It's just a hard one, because his performance as Ichabod Crane in this is just on point. Like you said, the way they retell this story between, not from a teacher who's coming into town, but an investigator and, putting his mind to work on the whole topic and everything like that. But Sweeney Todd. Yes.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
What do you got, John? What do you got?
Okay. So here's the thing. I liked Sweeney Todd, and I also like Sleepy Hollow. Those two are top tier movies for me to watch. Mm-hmm. There's not a time where I'm saying, you know what, I don't feel like watching these films, because they're both good. The rewatchability is good. They're both good in direction, storytelling, stuff like that. But if I want to go with something a little horror, a little bit more of an edge, I'm going to go Sleepy Hollow for the simple fact of the...
Sure.
Because of the fact that you have heads rolling. Mm-hmm. You also have Christina Ricci in this movie, which just makes it even more watchable. Then you also have this whole entire element of a police detective investigating this crime that's going on. And it's not even the school teacher element or anything like that from the old cartoon version. You're on suspense. You're wondering if Christina Ricci's a witch. If she's not a witch, you have that suspense. And then you also add in a little bit of an origin story with Ichabod Crane, with all the mental abuse that he was taken from when he was a kid as well. So they gave him a little bit more, it gave Ichabod a little bit more of an edge to him compared to what we normally see. And don't get me wrong, I love seeing Johnny Depp singing My Friends and having the revenge story and sliding the people down into the little basement and Alan Rickman being in it and stuff like that too. I love everything about that movie. But if I have to go with an edge to it, it's going to have to be Sleepy Hollow.
It's fair. Yeah, both great movies. But, yeah, you can't go wrong either way.
But you guys outvoted me, so therefore it's going to be Sweeney Todd moving into the third round. So now, for that third round in the semifinals, we're going to actually have What's Eating Gilbert Grape versus Sweeney Todd.
Oh, we're just going right to this?
No, I'm just announcing what's in the semifinals for the third round.
Yeah, Timmy, don't break my heart already.
No. We're not in the third round yet. Slow your balls. So now we have Edward Scissorhands versus Finding Neverland.
Man, I think only because I haven't seen it more than once so far, I would say Finding Neverland squeaks it out for me on this one. And again, the nostalgia of Edward Scissorhands is going to make me want to pick it, but I do think it's a better, movie overall, Finding Neverland. Yeah.
I think this is a better storytelling. This is a better, I hate to say it, but a better performance out of Johnny Depp, because like, this is him like not playing, you know, a typical weird character for him. Like, this isn't a typical Johnny Depp role, whereas a lot of the other characters in these, you know, brackets have been typical Johnny Depp roles. And I think you can tell how this really just shows how much of a well-rounded actor he is, as well as it being a great directed, you know, greatly directed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, here's the thing. For rewatchability and nostalgia, I would go with Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm.
And for yours is a first take, Don, and so is Jason's, though, too, because you guys just seen Finding Neverland not too long ago, so therefore it's more of a rewatchability for you versus Edward
Scissorhands. That's what I would say, is I would want to watch that again first, only because I've seen Edward Scissorhands so much.
Not only that, but I bet you can actually pick out certain scenes that you haven't seen before in Finding Neverland and discovering something new.
Right.
And that's also with me. I've seen it maybe twice, and I found something new with Finding Neverland.
Sure.
So I'm also going to have to say, I'm sorry, Edward. I love your lawn work. And that's also probably why they made a lawnmower 4.0 for Manscaped. But I'm sorry, dude. You're just going to have to go in and get your cookies and get paid in cookies and harass somebody over at the beauty salon that's going to sexually harass you. So you're going to have to go on ahead and check yourself over there. So we have Finding Neverland moving into the semifinals.
That's a tough one, though, because that's a tough one. I love Edward Scissorhands.
I do, too. As a matter of fact, I'm actually going to be on a Florida podcast reviewing Edward Scissorhands next week.
Nice.
So that's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Tragedy.
After that, we have Blow versus Donnie Brasco.
Ooh.
I think this one is actually pretty easy. As much as I love Blow, I think fuck you already. I think Donnie Brasco is the better movie and the one I would watch more.
Oof, I don't know about that one, man. I think
both. Let me just say something real quick, Jason. They're both based on true stories.
True.
They have that going. They're basically a mobster story within a crime element, but a crime story. You just don't have the FBI agent investigating Italian mobsters. You have a guy who's selling cocaine and weed and all that other stuff wrapped into Blow. And then you have an FBI agent trying to bring this mafioso down. And you're wondering through the whole movie, is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? And he almost turns to the point where he's saying, F the FBI, I'm going to go on ahead and go with this mafioso group and become a mobster. I'm also getting to the point where I'm almost abusing my wife. I'm getting wrapped up into everything in this whole entire crime world. So you have those beats going up against each other.
So for me, so the way I look at it this way is, in Donnie Brasco, he is a good guy going bad. And in Blow, he is a bad guy basically the entire way.
Going bad.
End up rooting for.
Right.
But I'm like, I think the reason why I'm choosing Blow is because you end up, by the end of the movie, you're almost rooting for him. You know what I mean? You almost want him to have a good life, to get what he wants, have him and his girl get away from it all. Like, you're almost really, truly rooting for him. Whereas, like, Donnie Brasco, you're starting to judge him at the end of that movie. And you're just like, dude, you're turning into a piece of shit.
Man. Oh, my God. This is harder. This is harder than I thought. Shit.
See, I think I'm going to stick to Blow.
It's not a bad. It's definitely not the bad pick. I'm going to stick with Donnie Brasco just for me.
Okay. I'm going to go with Donnie Brasco as well. And it's not the fact that I didn't like Blow or anything. And I also love the cocaine scene when his daughter's being born and he gets passed and passes out and stuff like that. I thought that was hilarious. They have some dark humor into it. But if I'm looking for something with suspense, if I'm looking for something on that kind of level and wondering if this guy's going to make it out of this thing or not, that would be the movie I'm going to go with is Donnie Brasco. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be cheering for George and hoping that George and his daughter have a nice life, but at the end of the day, you're rooting for a criminal at the same time.
It's not easy
because I love Blow. I love the movie. I don't like the cocaine guys. I like the movie Blow.
Just go away.
But anyways, I like that movie, but I'm going to go Donnie. I'm going to go Donnie Brasco.
All right.
Damn. So finding Neverland.
I'm sad either way.
So let's see here. Finding Neverland versus Donnie. And it's going to make it into semifinal. My
favorite Johnny Depp movies are off the list, and I'm just not happy about it.
And don't get mad, get glad.
What's next? Sorry.
So What's Eating Grape versus Sweeney Todd. Then Finding Neverland versus Donnie Brasco. Then I think we had. Okay, so after that we have. Okay, semifinal. Now we're going into those movies. Now we're having to go and fight off one more. Being great versus. I'm just double checking myself with things.
If you tell me we're about to pick Gilbert Grape to win this all, I'm going to lose my damn mind.
So we have What's Eating Gilbert Grape versus Sweeney Todd in the semifinals.
Such bullshit. Because What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I want to watch more. Unfortunately, I do. I want to see. Look, and I know this isn't about performances, but the chemistry between them two is too good to not want to watch. It's such a tough subject to handle, and again, for them to handle it the way they do, I love watching this movie. It's just,
and it's also not just like one topic they touch on. They touch on a lot of different topics in this movie, And it's just such a well-rounded heart, like pulling at your heartstrings movie. I just...
Yeah, it's one of those movies you cry at the end that you still feel good about. Like,
yes, it's the dumbest thing.
You know what I mean? Like, you really still feel good about the world at the end of it, even though you're crying your eyes out. It's like,
my favorite quote that they ever said was whenever they go up where the love interest goes up to Gilbert, and she's like, well, you're taking care of all these people, but who's going to take care of you? Mm-hmm. And it's about self-analyzation of the fact that what the hell am I going to do with my life while other people are also getting to live their life?
It's a great coming of age movie. It's a great movie with dealing with loss. It's a great movie for dealing with hard struggles in life. Like, it's just a good movie for everything.
And it's hard to pick this over Sweeney Todd, but yeah, I think I would definitely much rather watch it than Sweeney Todd, unfortunately.
Like, Sweeney Todd is a good, fun, whimsical movie. But I think, like you said, like rewatching and feeling something for the movie.
Yeah.
Gilbert Grape wins.
Yeah.
For me.
I agree.
Yeah, this is one of the movies you shouldn't want to rewatch, and you do. Right?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially that ending at the very end of What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah.
As well. Movie. And
it is. But it's good.
I'm going to agree with you guys. I love Gilbert Grape over Sweeney Todd. Sorry, Sweeney, but you went on ahead and Gilbert just went on and slit your own throat, and Sweeney's he made you go back into...
I was going to say, Sweeney's been turned into mincemeat pie.
Yep.
Exactly. I know what's eating Gilbert Grape, Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Hopping through these brackets.
Yep. So he's going to move into the finals.
Oh, gosh.
This is so crazy.
So Finding Neverland versus Donnie Brasco.
All right. So here's how I'm approaching this. What is the Gilbert Grape beater?
Okay. If we're going to be all right, I'm going to argue that Donnie Brasco was a better movie than
Finding
Neverland, because one, this is also another flex for him to show what kind of an actor he is. This has multiple layers to it, him playing kind of different, multiple personalities throughout this movie, because he has to be a different person with the feds. He's got to be a different person with the mob. He's got to be a different person at home. And I think captively, you're engaged in this story a little bit more so than you are with Finding Neverland.
Yeah.
What about for you, Don?
Yeah, again, I guess because I've only seen it once, it is a movie that I would like to see more because I do like him in it. I do like the movie. I like the performances. But, yeah, I mean, I just can't turn down a chance to watch him and Donnie Brasco and just watch Donnie Brasco in general. It's just, again, another rewatchable story that's so good. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to go Donnie Brasco as well. I like Finding Neverland. I like the layers of the Finding Neverland. I like the story of a documentary behind all this, like a biopic. I definitely like it. But if I'm going to have to go with suspense, like Jason said, if I'm going to have to go with direction and stuff, it's going to be Donnie. Forget about it. It's Fugazi.
Fugazi,
who gives a fuck? So, yeah, Donnie Brasco is going to take on What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
I can't believe we're here again, boys. I surely can't.
Let me just say this.
I will not do another one if Gilbert Grape's on it. I'm just telling you.
I don't think there's anyone else we can put in. Like,
no, there isn't. This is it. And I just want to say this. Gilbert, you have fought every single component that you can think of to get to this point. So this is actually...
When we get to the point that we can do like all the ones that have won against each other, Gilbert Grape gets a bye in the first round.
No, he didn't win the last one.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Remember, that's right. Yeah, Django went.
Django would beat it. Yeah. I forgot. All right. So Django versus...
Let's not get ahead of ourselves right now. We're talking about... Let's do Gilbert Grape versus Donnie Brasco.
I was referring back to the round with Leonardo.
I know.
That's what I'm referring to, too. So, okay. So we have Django beat... Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick Donnie Brasco over what's eating Gilbert Grape. Yeah. I think that's
one with the kid ever break, will you?
No. This is not really that. No, at all.
I'm playing.
No, I know, but this is definitely. I would definitely watch Donnie Brasco before I rewatch Gilbert Grape. Just again, rewatchability and just the movie itself. Yeah, I think it edges it out for me.
Okay.
You know, like I said in the last one, I think as a more dynamic story and a better like direction, I think Donnie Brasco probably takes that for me, just because Gilbert Grape is an amazing movie, but it's just. I think I'd just rather watch Donnie Brasco over, you know, Gilbert Grape on that one.
I also think in this sense, the reason Gilbert Grape is so good is why it doesn't win, because what I'm saying is, like we just talked about with Gilbert Grape, is it's a movie that you feel good about everything, but it's a tough movie to watch.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
Where I don't need a minute after I watch Donnie Brasco. You know what I mean?
Like, 100% I get that.
So if there's something, if there's a movie I'm going to go to for Johnny Depp, that's definitely the one.
Okay. I'm going to actually go Donnie Brasco as well. And don't get me wrong, I love.
Yeah.
Let's see if you get
one again, man. I put up a good fight again.
He did. Unfortunately, this time he got whacked. By some gangsters.
Leo and Johnny, you got to get your stuff back, man. You got to make something else again.
But yeah, I have to go with direction. I have to go with the story plot and stuff like that. Suspense. Not saying that I'm not suspensed or anything like that when it comes down to what's eating Gilbert Grape, but
yeah.
I'm looking at Lear's like Jason is.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm going to have to say Donnie Brasco is the better film over What's Eating Gilbert Grape. So that is it. Donnie Brasco wins the best movies of Johnny Depp.
Good movie. Pretty good movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. What's Eating Gilbert Grape, you put up a good fight, man. You fought you ended up going into two brackets, fighting your way through cocaine. You threw your way against Pirates of the Pirates. You threw yourself away. You dodged Edward Scissorhands. You also winded up not finding Neverland, but no. That was okay. Then you also winded up taking on Sweeney Todd and
that took that demon barber out, man.
And he took the demon barber out, and he just had to get whacked by some gangsters from New York. So freak. There you go. Hoo-ah.
Papa, hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah. So, guys, that's going to be it as far as our ultimate Johnny Depp movie bracket. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Don, for doing this. Is there anything coming out as far as your channels go or anything like that you want to go on ahead and tell everybody about?
Yes, watch Kingdom Coliseum, guys. It is so amazing. We have the first round is officially done. All four matches are up on the channel. There will be, I think, next Saturday we are doing the one shot, but then... We will be coming back Wednesday and Saturday for the second round after that. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitch, Padawan Frito. I've been playing a lot of Valorant for the console beta. I've been playing a lot of X Defiant, Apex, Overwatch. So come check us out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be on two other podcasts. I'm actually going to be on a Florida podcast talking about Edward Scissorhands. Reviewing that movie and about how it faced off against What's Eating Gilbert Grape. No, not really, but we're going to be reviewing that movie. But Friday, also too, I'm going to be on the Beeps show. If you don't know what the Beep is, the Beep is actually part of Unfiltered Studios. Unfiltered Studios is actually a full studio network that Rossi and I are part of. And basically, the name of the podcast is called Finding Your Way. So I'm going to be talking about my life and what got me started in doing podcasting and opening up a bunch of other stuff that I never really talk about. So that's going to be me talking to the beep about that. Go on ahead and check out the Sleepy G Show. Check out Hypno Wellness. And also check out the Geeky Dad podcast as well. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And we'll see you guys on the next one. Thank you so much, guys. I do appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Bye. See ya.